After 9 months, 125 Champions League games and 366 goals, Liverpool are kings of Europe for the sixth time in their history.
Jordan Henderson lifts the European Cup. Liverpool are the kings of Europe yet again. The fireworks explode. The ticker tape falls. Tottenham Hotspur are forgotten. This night now is all about the dancing, prancing, delighted Liverpool Football Club, champions of Europe.
It was an early Mo Salah goal and a late Divock Origi strike that did the damage as the Reds beat Spurs 2-0 in Madrid. We'll dissect all the drama and bring you the best reaction from the 2019 showpiece. Stay with us right here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Welcome to the show with myself, Chris Parrott, recording this right after the full-time whistle as the Liverpool players line up arm-in-arm in front of a red wall at the Metropolitano and celebrate their sixth European title. You'll never walk alone is being sung loud and proud. Andy Brassel, European football journalist, joins me. 2-0 winners Liverpool. They had enough. Just enough, scored early, scored late.
Yeah, and it was a huge team effort, there's no doubt about that. We thought Liverpool might start fast, we didn't imagine they'd get a penalty in the first 30 seconds. but from there it was difficult between two teams who know each other so well, who were fighting tiredness, who were fighting the pressure of playing a domestic rival that they were so familiar with and that was so familiar with them. And Liverpool coming off the back of the season where they did everything possible to win the domestic league, everything that was reasonable and more, and yet they managed to get it over the line. And, you know, you look at the players who've come in over the last 18 months, you look at Fabinho, you look at Virgil van Dijk, of course, and then you look at Alisson, who was arguably their best player, certainly their most decisive player in a little 15, 20-minute spell where Tottenham really threatened to come back into it in the second half, making a string of great saves and being the goalkeeper they needed at the moment that they needed him.
Certainly did. Let's hear how the 2019 UEFA Champions League final unfolded at the Estadio Metropolitano. Steve Wilson describes the action.
And it's a penalty to Liverpool after 24 seconds. Sadio Mane played the ball inside the Tottenham penalty area. It hit Sissoko, didn't it? Musa Sissoko. And Damir Skomina has pointed to the penalty spot here. Mohamed Salah from the penalty spot. It's a long wait. Hands on hips. He looks at the referee. He approaches the ball. And he fires Liverpool in front. Well, now Liverpool have five forward against Spurs, five back. It's Robertson to the edge of the area. Tipped over by Hugo Lloris. That was a really good drive. Long and away towards the right-hand side and Trippier. Trippier's cross in towards Dele Alli over the crossbar. The best chance Spurs have fashioned. Here's Son Heung-min though for Tottenham. Son drives, Alisson saves out to his right hand side. Danny Rose back in, Lucas Moura, Alisson saves again. Two big saves from Liverpool's Brazilian goalkeeper. Eriksen, great save by Alisson out to his left hand side. Terrific stop. Headed away by Lucas Moura. Van Dijk tried to get something on it and couldn't. Vertonghen brought down by Matip. Origi hits it and Man have won the Champions League for Liverpool. Divock Origi, it's that man again, and Liverpool have doubled their lead. They scored with 2 minutes played, and they've scored again with 3 minutes left. Surely even Tottenham Hotspur now cannot turn this around. It is Divock Origi, the hero of so many important moments in Liverpool's season, and he has surely now crowned Liverpool champions of Europe for the sixth time. 4 minutes and 56, it says. The referee blows his whistle. 1977, 1978, 1981, 1984, 2005, 2019, Liverpool, six-time champions of Europe, and deservedly so.
So Liverpool did it again. Jurgen Klopp was given a rather uncomfortable birthday bumps as the celebrations went on long into the night at Stadio Metropolitano for Liverpool. Pretty much nothing went right for them in 2018 in the final. And then inside 30 seconds, they won a penalty. Steve Wilson joins us now. Did Sadio Mane do something very, very clever?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think also probably the Liverpool coaching staff and Klopp and co had coached their front three to do something clever. They knew that the interpretation of handball in the Champions League is such that an outstretched arm is an invitation. If the ball hits it, is likely to result in a penalty. And Sissoko's unfortunate because he was actually raising his arm to point to his teammates, I think saying, you know, get in position behind me, a cross is coming in. And it was like a bait dangling on the end of a fishing rod, and Sadio Mane flicked the ball onto the arm and the penalty was given.
Second quickest Champions League final goal after one that AC Milan got against Liverpool in 2005. Of course, Liverpool came back then. That was the last time they lifted the trophy, and their sixth European success puts them one clear now of Barcelona and Bayern on the all-time list, and only AC Milan and Real Madrid are ahead of the English giants. Divock Origi, if someone had said at the start of this season that he'd be Liverpool's hero in the semi-final and the final, they wouldn't have believed you. 12 months ago, he was playing in a Bundesliga relegation promotion playoff with Wolfsburg. And there he was, scoring another massive goal in this Champions League run.
Absolutely, and what a finish it was as well. And when we talked about it being a team effort before, actually the setup for it is Tottenham tried to get it clear. First, Virgil van Dijk getting it back in the mix. And then a just terrific layoff pass, really, from Joel Matip before it was a tough old angle for Origi. And he put it in the one spot in the goal where Lloris couldn't get it. It was a really fantastic finish. So, you know, whereas Alisson made some fantastic saves, you could argue with that finish, Lloris was never given the opportunity, not even a slim opportunity, to make that sort of save.
You know, Liverpool's front three are Liverpool's front three, and Divock Origi probably understands that he is not going to break into that front three unless injury or something else befalls Firmino, Salah and Mane. What he has done this season is made himself the next go-to man, because he actually started this season behind Daniel Sturridge in that pecking order.
Yeah.
And he is now the man that Klopp turns to if his tried and trusted trident are not winning the game.
Because you hear, I think all season long, Liverpool fans, if we talk about now, which we will over the course of the show, about how now they sort of take the next steps, I think a lot of people might have said another forward just in case one of the front three is injured. Has Divock Origi sort of suggested that they don't need that anymore?
I think he does suggest that to a certain extent. I think the fact that he provides something very importantly different from Firmino is very, very key as well. But it's always a difficulty, especially the way that football's evolved tactically, that most teams only have one centre-forward now. So, especially when you reach the elite level of a team like Liverpool or a team like Tottenham, and strikers like Roberto Firmino and Harry Kane, who do you get of anywhere near that level who you're going to persuade to come in and say, OK, you're going to be on the bench for 50 games a season, just deal with it? It's very, very difficult. And so to find someone like Origi, who's battling very hard, and, you know, he's made contributions for Liverpool before, he's made contributions for Belgium in World Cups and European Championships, to find someone who has that talent, but also that desire to prove that they're worth being there when they get the chance, and need have no rustiness, just to be able to seize that opportunity. It's very difficult, and Liverpool, you could argue, are in a very lucky position to be able to do that.
I suspect had he not scored those two goals against Barcelona and the goal in the final, that, you know, Liverpool may possibly have been, one of the things in their mind may have been to look for an upgrade on Origi in the summer.
Certainly.
But I honestly think now you cannot sell the man who scored twice in the semi-final and the decisive goal in the final.
100% hit rate in this season's Champions League for Origi. Three shots, three goals. If we go back through the game now, if you just look at the stats, Liverpool only had three attempts on target compared to Tottenham's eight. I don't really remember Hugo Lloris. He made the one save from Andy Robertson, I think, in the first half.
Yes.
Alisson was probably the busier goalkeeper, and at 1-0, Tottenham had the spell and they couldn't get the goal.
Yes, that's absolutely right. And Tottenham had those moments really just through strength of will, which is how they've got this far, because they were never fluent. It was never a fluent match, and they were just chipping away, trying to get bits and pieces, especially when Llorente came on to try and create some havoc, to try and knock things down, just in the same way as they had in the closing half of the tie against Ajax. But they did find those opportunities, and Alisson is just so steady. I mean, he was really, as Steve was saying in commentary, for the first, 60, 65 minutes of that game, pretty much a spectator. And you can't emphasise enough how incredible it is to be able to, as a goalkeeper, just be concentration on the whole time, to click into gear like that. And in a way, maybe it's something about the Estadio Metropolitano, because it's something that Jan Oblak, you know,
yes,
one of Alisson's rivals for the title of best goalkeeper in the world, does on a bi-weekly basis.
It was, I mean, there were eight shots on target, Tottenham. All of them in the last 20, 22 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
They may go away. So I think, obviously, if you lose a final, you have regrets, and I think they may regret that they didn't get Lucas Moura on earlier. It would have been a brave change to make at half-time, but it may perhaps have given them that impetus a little bit earlier in the game.
Had they scored to make it 1-1, I know ifs, buts, maybes, then the momentum behind them, you probably would have backed Tottenham maybe to go on, because it was, I used the word a funny game at half-time, and it you think of these two teams in the Premier League, and even in the Champions League this season, really fluent, you know, well-oiled machine going forward. And actually, neither team really played that well, or to 100% of their capability anyway.
Not in the most attractive fashion that we've seen them play this season, certainly. But talking of two teams from the same country playing a sort of slugfest,
yes,
really, just jab, jab, jab. It was kind of like that, wasn't it? It was the full 12 rounds it was destined to be. So I'm very reminiscent, I thought, of the 2016 final in Milan between Real Madrid and Atletico. And I think if Tottenham had managed to get that equaliser, I wouldn't have seen them running away with the game or taking it away in the final period. And not just because Alisson stood between them and scoring, but for the fact that it had that same feeling as 2016, that if Tottenham had equalised, this would have gone the distance, and we'd be talking you through a penalty shootout about now.
Looking at the statistics, there must be very few games over the course of the last season in which Liverpool have finished a match with only 35% possession and only three shots on target. They were poor in their three away games in the group stage of the UEFA Champions League, but I can't think of any other occasion this season when they would have had statistics like that.
Agreed. First time a side has won the Champions League despite having less possession than the opposition since another final in this City of Madrid when Inter beat Bayern.
But the early goal allowed them to do it, didn't it? The early goal allowed them to do it.
I was just going to ask. Yeah. That completely changes, you know. And again, is this, I know we've spoken a lot on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live, last season or in Klopp's other seasons, would they have been fast and furious even though they were 1-0, whereas they are a bit more pragmatic now, and it certainly worked, didn't it?
They know that they can keep a clean sheet. You know, you can't absolutely guarantee it, of course, because you're playing against some of the best players in the world. But Liverpool know what it takes to keep the opposition out, and that is something they didn't have last season. And that takes us back to talking about that Roma semi-final when they were at 1.5-0 up in the first leg and Roma scored two away goals, and then suddenly Liverpool found themselves in bother in the second leg. And you cannot imagine this Liverpool side 12 months on getting themselves in that scenario.
I mean, they were playing with house money for a lot of last season, weren't they? I mean, they were beautiful to watch from the knockout stages onwards, particularly. And nothing was expected of Liverpool, but they can't go back to that. They can't go back to that. And you know what? They don't want to go back to that either. They want demands placed on them. And they played like that all season. And if you look at, you know, the various examples of how they were in the knockout stages last season, when they won 5-0 at Porto, like that tie, that two-headed tie against Roma that, that Steve was talking about. But this season, if you have to look at a template, it's Bayern away, I think. Just composed, no panic, nothing flash, and against a more experienced side in Europe than Tottenham by some distance. Yep. And to do it on their ground, on their terms, was really impressive.
Maybe the moment Liverpool really started to believe their name was on the trophy in 2019. Let's hear from one of their goal scorers, Mo Salah, speaking pitch side in Madrid.
Honestly, I don't know what to say, but everyone is happy now. You win a final. I'm very glad to play the second final in a row and played 90 minutes finally. So everyone did his best to win the game, and I think it's not an individual performance for anyone, but all the team were unbelievable today. Congratulations to all of us and all the fans around the world.
Mo Salah, the scorer of Liverpool's penalty after 2 minutes, was lucky enough to be in the tunnel in the bowels of the Olympijski 12 months ago. Mo Salah walking with his shoulder in a sling, worried he was going to miss the World Cup, basically in tears, completely forlorn figure. It's very difficult not to just feel incredibly happy for Mo Salah, given what a player he is, that 12 months on, Steve, he's not only won the Champions League, but he's also scored a goal.
Yeah, and he took the penalty really well. That was quite a long wait between the award of the penalty and the taking of the penalty. And he is not Liverpool's main penalty taker, though he does take penalties if Milner's not on the pitch. So it was a massive moment. And it was the platform on which Liverpool went on to win the game. And he looked as cool as he always looked. He didn't have his best game. Not many of the Liverpool players did. But they did enough.
We talked about whether they probably played better in Kiev and lost. They won't care. But, you know, what Steve said there, if you, apart from Alisson, if you had to pick a Liverpool player who was absolutely their back, I mean, I guess maybe you look at Virgil van Dijk.
Yes.
Again, yeah. He completely unflustered. Harry Kane didn't really have a sniff, and he played the 90 minutes.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And the few times when Liverpool looked as if they were going to get caught in those wide areas, Van Dijk was there. But I thought Trent Alexander-Arnold was excellent as well. There are a couple of occasions where the centre-halves were caught out. He came across and was alive. And considering how much of the attacking threat he provided as well, I mean, I would love to see the running statistics. Trent Alexander-Arnold is going to be right up there because he ran both ends of the pitch.
OK, let's hear from Liverpool's homegrown hero now, Trent Alexander-Arnold.
It's hard to even put into words what's just happened and the celebrations that are going to happen tonight. I think the season we've had, we've deserved it more than any other team. And I think the run that we've had, we've beat everyone in our path and we've done something special again tonight. And obviously, an early goal and a late goal has finished them off, and we've probably been dominated through the main part of the game, but we've shown we're a world-class side and can win anyway. Obviously, for me, I'm just a normal lad from Liverpool whose dreams just come true.
Trent Alexander-Arnold was six in 2005 when Liverpool last lifted this trophy. He's his fan as well as a world-class fullback, and we can now hear from his manager, Jurgen Klopp.
Absolutely, big fight, difficult circumstances, both teams fighting like on three wheels, like a car on three wheels. Tottenham did not play the best game, we know it was today only about winning, finish the job. The boys did an incredible job, you saw. They were all done there, all the players were long season, all the intensity. And we won it. For them, they were waiting so long for something like that. And what the boys did is incredible. Unbelievable.
Good job Jurgen Klopp didn't have to do an extra time team talk, because I think his voice has gone. But after six final defeats in a row for the German manager, this will taste so sweet, Steve.
Oh, I mean, can you imagine? For all his, you know, positivity, which never seems to fail him, he wouldn't be human if he wasn't thinking that, you know, he might end up without some sort of achievement of this status on his CV. And it's actually, you know, you just now wonder where Liverpool can go now with Klopp, what they might go on and achieve now, not only with the status they now have of European champions and the advantage that might give them in the transfer market over the next weeks, but the confidence it will give to the club and the players that they have at the club now. They have an almighty task to try and overhaul Manchester City and others in the English Premier League, but that will be the aim now. That will be their next aim. They will want, of course, to try and repeat this again in 12 months' time, very much. But they will also want that domestic title.
And this is an enormous challenge, really, for Liverpool when you think about it, because they're in a similar position, I think, to Real Madrid in 2017. The whole feeling around Real Madrid after they completely outclassed Juventus in the second half of that final in Cardiff is, how can we go on from there? We can't go and buy anyone because our team is perfect. And there must be moments when, especially Liverpool's fans, but I think people around the team as well, must look at the team and how they've finally tuned it, how they've got about systematically eliminating all those areas of weakness that they had 12 months ago. It's not easy to see how to improve this Liverpool team, I think.
It really isn't. I mean, I suppose that you would say that, you know, perhaps there is a space alongside Van Dijk at the centre of their defence, but I think that in the sort of medium term, that you would expect that Joe Gomez would be the person that they would be thinking would fill that slot. So you don't want to impede the progression of a young, very talented defender by bringing in somebody that is going to stand in his way. It's very difficult to see who's going to get into their midfield because they have so many options already. Keita injured, come in. Milner had to sit on the bench. And the front three is the front three. They're undroppable if they're fit. So you're absolutely right. Where and how do they improve this? I suppose it's by doing what Manchester City have, if they can afford to do it, which is by making sure that your second 11 is almost as good as your first 11.
Yeah, and Divock Origi, when you have a super sub like him, just goes to show the strength Liverpool already have. Let's hear from Liverpool's second goal scorer now.
It's unbelievable. It's winning a Champions League is so hard. And today we're here, we fought together as a team with the supporters. So it's special. It's my first trophy. And we're going to celebrate all together.
Divock Origi there, understandably, I think, just trying to grasp it, to be quite honest. Every footballer is confident of their abilities, but surely even Divock Origi would be shocked that he scored three goals in the latter stages of the Champions League. We've spoken about Jurgen Klopp from a Tottenham perspective and a Mauricio Pochettino perspective, because this was Klopp's first trophy with Liverpool. Pochettino is still now waiting for his first at Tottenham. How do you think the Spurs manager will look back on the 2019 final?
I think when there's a bit of distance from it, because of course it's very raw now, he'll feel his team couldn't have given much more. They've been through an enormous amount this season. No one really expected them to be anywhere near this final. When the balls came out of the hat for the last 16 draw, the round of 16, I think a lot of people had Dortmund, who were top of the Bundesliga by a way at some point, as slight favourites. They did an incredibly professional job on that last 16 game. And then they fought and scrapped with everything they had against excellent opposition at every turn to get themselves here. And on the night, they couldn't have given much more. The only thing you could say for Tottenham, when we talked about Liverpool and maybe it's difficult to see room for improvement, with Tottenham, I think they'll look to another great serial champion, the Golden State Warriors, and say it's all about strength in numbers. That's where they need to go next. They need to really beef up that squad. They're in a very similar position to where Liverpool were last year, where you looked at Liverpool giving everything in Kiev, running Real Madrid so close, but in the end you had Jordan Henderson on one and a half legs, trying his best to get through it. And you saw what it meant to Henderson at the end, the way he was one of the most emotional Liverpool players, not just because he wears his heart on his sleeve, because he doesn't all the time, not just because he's the captain, not just because his family were there, but he went through the pain barrier to try and make it happen last year, and it wasn't enough. But this year, he's had numbers around him. He's had Keita, although he wasn't able to make it. Fabinho, who's been an absolutely key signing. James Milner, they were able to start him on the bench this evening, which is an enormous luxury for Jurgen Klopp. You think he's one of their most important players in their team or in their squad. Yeah. That is not a luxury that Pochettino had. Now he's got them beyond all odds, against all odds, to the final of the UEFA Champions League. They've got themselves into this fantastic new stadium. Now, Pochettino will say, well, look what I can do without the resources that perhaps... Let's copy Liverpool. Let's build on it. Let's make sure we get here again and again and again.
I think also, let's not forget that Liverpool will have in their squad, you would imagine, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, who will increase competition as an attacking midfielder as well. So that will be kind of like a new signing for them. There's some big decisions to be made at Tottenham Hotspur, and I don't just mean Pochettino. I mean the club has to decide how far they are willing to go, because of course the manager knows that if he decides to leave Spurs, he would have any number of clubs who would be happy to employ him, some of whom would almost guarantee trophies. And winning trophies with Tottenham is going to be extremely difficult unless they change what has been a culture of the club, which is basically that in order to bring people in, people have to go out. Mm. He's done a remarkable job without the depth of squad.
That's the question. Is this a crescendo for Tottenham, or is it the start of something? That's what Liverpool had to ask themselves 12 months ago, and that's what Tottenham have to ask themselves now.
And actually, had Tottenham won this game, there were some Spurs fans, given what Mauricio Pochettino said before the Ajax second leg, when he came out with it that, you know, or maybe if... Well, it was... No one was quite sure what to make, whether he was saying, if I win the Champions League, then that might be me done at Spurs. That's definitely not going to happen now in his eyes, you would think, because now he's had a taste. He's got this far with Spurs, but he knows he can, well, still has to go that a little bit further.
I'm not sure you can predict what will happen with Pochettino over the course of the next few weeks. I suppose it depends what offers he has from elsewhere. But, you know, there will be offers from elsewhere, and he has to have talks with the people who hold the purse strings at Tottenham and decide if he believes that they are going to invest so that he can do this again. Because what he has done, the Spurs have punched way above their weight in this competition this year. And having a taste of it once against the odds is all very well, but you'd like the odds to be in your favour a little better the next time so that you can do it again. He has to decide, and Tottenham have to convince him, I feel, that they're a club that are willing to do that.
OK, let's hear from a man you just mentioned, Andy Brassel, Jordan Henderson here, the Liverpool captain who lifted the Champions League in Madrid.
We've been so unlucky so many times in cup finals, in the league. But the character of this squad, you know, to get back up and keep fighting, just makes it all that sweeter. Unbelievable. I'm so honoured and so proud to be a part of this team. Without the manager, this is impossible. So thank you to him. Thank you to all the fans. You know, they've been unbelievable ever since I've come to the club. But especially this season, they've been our 12th man. The owners, everybody involved in the football club deserve this moment tonight. And I just want to enjoy it now, you know. We need to enjoy this moment. Got internationals, and then after that, have a break.
Jordan Henderson there, who's going off to the UEFA Nations League. No rest for him, joining the pantheon of great Liverpool captains who have lifted the Champions League. More reaction to come, but now let's take a quick look back at what has been a quite remarkable Champions League season, full of dramatic moments, and maybe your highlight was one of these.
Here they come again, Van de Beek into Tadic. Tadic, 3-0! It's an unbelievable finish from Dusan Tadic! And Real Madrid are being crashed out of the UEFA Champions League!
Cristiano Ronaldo for Juventus, powers it into the corner! Perfect penalty! Ronaldo hat-trick! Penalty kick! Would you believe it? In stoppage time for Manchester United! It's Rashford against Buffon to send United through, and he scores away to Buffon's right, and Manchester United score and are heading through on away goals.
And it goes into the six-yard box. Oh, they've turned it in! This is quite remarkable! It's the substitutes, Fernando Llorente for Tottenham.
It's taken quickly, Origi. Oh, he scored! He scored! Divock Origi for Liverpool. They are leading with 12 minutes to go. Unbelievable!
It's touchdown for Dele Alli. Lucas Moura! Oh, my goodness me! This is beyond astonishing. It is beyond words. Tottenham have won it.
Genuinely one of the most extraordinary Champions League campaigns I can ever remember. Have you got any particular highlights even? It's a long list to choose from. We heard some of your commentary there, Steve. Fairly disbelieving moments.
The second leg of the semi-final at Anfield between Liverpool and Barcelona, and of course Ajax have been, you can't write about the 2018-19 UEFA Champions League without writing about Ajax and giving them at least a chapter in that book.
Yes.
Because they were fantastic.
Do you think they would have been watching on at the final, actually, given the way that the game was played?
Yes.
Thinking, oh, you know what, if we were at our best, we probably could have won this game.
I think there would be quite a few clubs watching that final thinking, because neither side were at their best, let's be honest.
I mean, maybe Ajax would have thought that, but I think if they take their minds back to a couple of years to the final of the UEFA Europa League as well, they'd been so dazzling on the way to that, with performances in Amsterdam as opposed to this time. Their performances away from home were absolutely fantastic at Juventus, at Bayern going back to the beginning, at Real Madrid. They would have said to themselves, the players who were there, like Lasse Schürrle, who were there for that UEFA Europa League final, would have said, it's really hard to do your best in a final. And, you know, it's I think important to acknowledge that. We've seen so many great teams down the years. Manchester United in 1999. It's really difficult to do what you did on the way, on the very biggest stage, when it's win or go home. It's very tough indeed. I think there were some great moments, of course. I think you can look at that group that Liverpool came out of.
Almost knocked out on match day six. Napoli had a chance at the end. Alisson made a save. It wasn't the best effort. And otherwise, they would have been out.
That for me, is one of the big takeaways of the Champions League this season. It's sometimes said that it doesn't really get going until the knockout stages. I don't see that at all. Certainly not on this season. I think you look at the fact that Napoli, up until match day six, against Liverpool, were the best team in that group, against Liverpool and Paris Saint-Germain.
Beat them, Liverpool in Naples.
Yeah, that's right. And even Ravenna Zvezda had their word to say. They beat Liverpool 2-0 comprehensively out there in Belgrade. You look at Lyon, taking 4 points off Manchester City and playing really fantastically in both games. The depth of the UEFA Champions League at the moment is something quite astonishing. Now, you know, no doubt about it, the knockout stages, it's been real handbrake off, terrific football. So that's why I guess tonight was something a little bit different. But nevertheless, it has been, I think, from September to June, just a brilliant season.
I wonder what Milan Pavkov, who got those two goals in Belgrade, will be thinking this evening. It was already a pretty good night to beat Liverpool, and now he scored two goals against a team that went on to win the European Cup, the Champions League.
It's a bit like Bartek Borisov's claim to fame in 2012-13 against Bayern.
Absolutely. So if we're going to look ahead, actually, Steve, you've just spotted something. We've got to bring this in.
This was in the back of my mind, and I've just Googled it and found it. I knew it was in there somewhere. This just shows how football changes. That if you go back to 2015, when Divock Origi had been signed by Liverpool and sent back so that he could have another season in the French league, sent back to Lille. That season, when he was playing for Lille on loan from Liverpool, he was named in the worst team in Ligue 1 for that season. He's just scored the goal that won the Champions League.
He had the last laugh, didn't he, there? That's extraordinary. It just goes to show, doesn't it, how quickly it can turn around. If we briefly look ahead to next season, because, I mean, we're already in June. The qualifiers start next month, Andy Brassel. They might start later this month, actually, for some teams. And then the group stage in September. We'll be back here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. At Chelsea, back in the group stage. They also won the Europa League, so they'll be looking to succeed in this competition again. I've just briefly mentioned the teams that are in it confirmed. Four sides, remember, from Spain, England, Italy and Germany. So it's Barcelona, Atletico, Real Madrid and Valencia from Spain, Manchester City, Liverpool, Chelsea and Tottenham from England. From Italy, Juventus, Napoli, Inter and Atalanta. What a story that's been. From Germany, Bayern, Dortmund, Leipzig and Leverkusen. France have three teams, Paris Saint-Germain, Lille and Lyon. Russia have Zenit and Lokomotiv Moskva. Benfica from Portugal, Shakhtar from Ukraine, Genk from Belgium, Galatasaray from Turkey and Salzburg from Austria. Who are the beneficiaries of the fact that Liverpool and Tottenham were already through. So they got bumped up and they don't have to qualify. So, and they normally go out and qualify. So they are finally in the group stage.
Good side, though.
Good side.
Yeah.
Score a lot of goals in Europe, in the Europa League in recent times.
Really entertaining football and a really positive attacking culture to that team, whoever the players are, because they always move on a few every summer, but they come back strong.
Atalanta, if you're looking for an attacking team as well.
Ridiculous. It's a brilliant, brilliant story with what Atalanta have done this season. Their season started this campaign with in the early rounds of UEFA Europa League qualifying. They've had the marathon of a season ending in absolute glory with sealing their place in the Champions League next season on the last day of the Serie A season.
And Gianpiero Gasperini, who was linked with a move away, but now they're in the Champions League, may well be staying, saw a quote from him saying, bring on the group of death. He wants Atalanta to have big nights against the likes of Liverpool, Real Madrid. It's going to be fascinating, isn't it, given that now Liverpool are the holders and they'll be the team being chased. You know, it took an awfully long time for a team to win back-to-back titles. Real Madrid then went and did three. So who's going to be chasing them down?
Really interesting to see, you know, whether this is the end of a cycle for Real Madrid or whether it's a blip, whether they can get themselves back into the position that they've been in over recent years. Interesting to see too, of course, you know, whether Barcelona are beginning to run out of legs with this team. Is it just a little bit too old now, that Barcelona side? Are the key elements of that side coming to the end? It does feel that way about both Real and Barcelona, but then having said that, you know, who's going to write them off?
I mean, I think really you touched on it there, Steve, but so many of the big names are looking at big makeovers. Real Madrid, Barcelona, Atletico are going to make a lot of changes. Bayern, you expect Paris Saint-Germain to be active and fixing their midfield holes this summer. And some of that team is ageing as well, just as Barcelona are ageing, but perhaps even more dramatically so.
Juve, new coach.
Absolutely. I think if we talked about Liverpool maybe having the chance to build some sort of era, and we talked about English teams being the two finalists in the UEFA Champions League and in the UEFA Europa League, it's far too early to talk about an era of English domination like we've seen with La Liga clubs or Bundesliga clubs or Serie A clubs at the end of the 90s and start of the 21st century before. English clubs will not get a better opportunity than this for a long time. And so Liverpool, I think we can safely say, will be there or thereabouts next season. Will Tottenham as well? Well, Manchester City will be hoping to join them, certainly.
They definitely will. Lyon, by the way, are one of the French teams, their women's team. If Liverpool want something to look ahead to, they just won their sixth Women's Champions League title, beating Barcelona by 4-1. So Liverpool got a way to replicate that achievement. But as you mentioned, now they have the opportunity. And I guess, will the pressure be off, but now they don't have to field all of those questions about, well, they're great, but they haven't won anything under Jurgen Klopp. That completely put to bed.
Absolutely. I think it's difficult to say it's a transformative moment for Liverpool because they were so good anyway. But they had to win something. And to bounce back from the disappointment of having such an incredible league campaign and miss out by 1 point from the title is huge for them. They had to win something sooner rather than later, and they've done it, and now they will look to kick on. I think the resources will be there for, Jurgen Klopp is now in a position, if he wasn't already, if, you know, he will be able to get what he wants.
I can't wait to see the Liverpool celebrations, by the way, probably led by Jurgen Klopp. Let's hear from two of the Liverpool defensive stalwarts who helped them to victory ultimately in Madrid. Virgil van Dijk, but first, Andy Robertson.
After the disappointment of last year, it was so important that we made it right and got our hands on one of the gold medals and the big trophy, and what a feeling it is. And we wanted to put the feelings that we had last season to bed and create new feelings and experiences, and luckily we've done that.
We worked so hard, tough game, Spurs did well, especially second half. We did it, Deep pops up again, so fantastic. We grow as players, as human beings, as a group. Everything has been, going well in training. We're working hard for each other, and that's what we need to do, keep doing as well. And the togetherness in this group, this team, this group of fans we have always is fantastic. And I'm really, really proud to be playing with these kind of boys and playing for these fans as well. And let's enjoy this.
Virgil van Dijk there. It's a stat about the fact that nobody has dribbled past him. And when needs must, he was there again. We only have to go back last season in the group stage. Sevilla, memory serves me right, Liverpool were 3-0 up at half-time, is that right?
And they were, yeah.
And it ended 3-3. The transformation as a defensive unit since then, and you still, in my head, I still think of Jurgen Klopp as this brilliant attacking coach, but the way that they are now so solid at the back, led by Van Dijk, is... It's something to behold, really.
Yeah, and it's not just about Liverpool's evolution, but as you say quite rightly, Chris, about Jurgen Klopp's evolution. I mean, the best coaches in the world do find a way to reinvent themselves. Pep Guardiola had to do it when he came to England. He had to do it when he went to Bayern. Carlo Ancelotti has done it on several occasions. And, Jurgen Klopp is proving beyond any shadow of a doubt that he belongs in that sort of company. But... so much is made, and quite rightly so, of the signings of Van Dijk and Alisson, and they've both been huge contributors. But Fabinho, who was signed, knew he was going to sign when he was watching the final on television last year, and then went and signed shortly afterwards, took a while to get into this season. We talked about how Mo Salah took a while to get into this season, but Fabinho didn't play for the first 10 games or so, maybe one, two substitute appearances, and now he's become an absolutely vital anchor for this team. And maybe he's not someone who would pick out as a traditionally Jurgen Klopp player, but he's become a very important fulcrum for this Liverpool side.
I think we'll probably see more from Keita next season for Liverpool as well. I think he's shown in flashes over the course of the campaign that he will be a good signing, but I don't think we've seen him show yet in England the kind of talent and ability that he showed in Germany. So getting into Liverpool's midfield, when you think that Oxlade-Chamberlain will be fit, you assume Henderson, Fabinho, Wijnaldum, Keita, is going to be extremely difficult. Some of the fringe players will go. Don't think Sturridge will be there next season. Don't think Alberto Moreno will be there next season. But I don't think it's going to be easy to get in their side.
Jurgen Klopp's the man who's going to have to get his man management techniques absolutely spot on. He doesn't have to worry about that right now, though. Let's hear if he's got his voice back.
Unbelievable. But these boys stayed the whole season, and you saw how intense it was for both teams. That was not the best game of Tottenham, not the best game of Liverpool. But we won it, and we scored two goals with a sensational goalkeeper. I have no words. I'm speechless.
The answer is no, he hasn't got his voice back. Praising Alisson there. He sounds so happy, Jurgen Klopp. We mentioned all of the final defeats. In the build-up to this game, I remember him using the word luck, and I don't think that the penalty they got was lucky, but if you think in the second half when Eriksen had that free kick, and I can't remember who was fouled, but that was, a millimetre away from being a penalty?
Rose, wasn't it? Milner.
Yeah.
Rose. And it went to a VAR check, and those moments, and maybe Klopp will say, I deserve that, given what's happened over the last 7 years in finals.
It would be harsh to keep being as unlucky as Klopp had over the years, and that's probably what he was basing his belief upon. But Pochettino will be feeling unlucky. I think that there will be people who would say that that's not a penalty in the first minute of the game, and then you have a completely different match, totally different match. Unlucky. It'd be very interesting to hear how Tottenham say how fit Harry Kane was. He didn't look fit to me. And this might actually be a sort of cautionary tale, perhaps for Liverpool and Spurs took a gamble on their main strikers, didn't they, Firmino and Kane. And in the end, though Kane got through the game and Firmino lasted an hour, neither gamble really. It was Harry Kane in name only, almost. And you would say the same about Firmino.
Absolutely. Well, Mauricio Pochettino was the man who made the decision to play Harry Kane, and we can hear from him now speaking in his post-match press conference.
Now it's impossible to talk. I think we are all feel very disappointed, but the season was fantastic. We need to feel proud. I feel so proud of all my players and our fans. We can't give the last moment, the last game of the season, a massive reward for our fans. When we were talking on the past, I think finally it's about to win. It's not about to play well, and it's about the details. And today, I think to concede after 20 seconds or 30 seconds a penalty, that changed completely the plans. It's a massive impact for the team, manage and to handle. But the team was great. Overall, I think we dominate the game. We could create three chances, but they were more aggressive, clinical in front of the goal. And us, we create some chances, but we didn't score. When that happened, it's so painful, but in the same time, we need to be calm in the way that we are going to talk or analyze the things, because I think we need to feel proud. The season was fantastic to finish on the top four and play the finals for first time in the history of the club. It's a thing that is going to be painful because we lose the final, but in the same time, we need to be positive.
Very measured, that from Mauricio Pochettino, and almost impossible to argue with. Tottenham have made such enormous strides forward this season, Steve.
He's an incredibly impressive coach. He's very difficult not to warm to, because he's personable and charming and respectful of the media. And, he is going to be a major player in world football for at least the next 10 years, I think. And Tottenham will have to keep him happy because, if you look, let's say Pochettino decides to move on, who does Spurs replace him with? That's a really, really, really difficult one.
Yeah, he seems, as much as Jurgen Klopp actually is so central, it almost sounds silly thing to say, so central to Liverpool. Same you can say about Pochettino, that, remember they haven't signed anybody. They are moving into this new stadium, but you feel like he holds Tottenham and their future hopes together.
He does, but on the other hand, Tottenham have given him an enormous amount. They've given him a platform to prove his coaching chops beyond any shadow of doubt at all, because what he's done and what he's achieved this season has been absolutely fantastic. And just as it wouldn't have been possible for Tottenham without Pochettino, maybe it wouldn't have been possible for Pochettino without Tottenham to prove himself to this extent. And also the status that he enjoys there. He could join bigger clubs and he would not have a fraction of the status that he does at Spurs. The fact is, if Pochettino keeps producing the body of work that he has been producing at Spurs, the biggest clubs will always want him, and Real Madrid and Bayern or Juventus or whoever it might be, they will wait until tomorrow. Once he leaves Tottenham, him and Tottenham are over, and he's never coming back, and he's never enjoying that status again, and perhaps he'll never enjoy that status and that level of control at a Champions League club again. I think they've already showed that they're a brilliant partnership, and they both have to find a way to work it out so they can keep entertaining us in the way that they have this season going forward.
I think, though, he will be looking, and he will be saying, we have one of the best stadiums in Europe, if not the best stadium in Europe, in the new ground. We have an unbelievable training facility, one of the best training facilities you could possibly hope for. Now give me a team to match.
Mm. Yep, and what is it? Two transfer windows now that they haven't signed anybody. Yep. I wouldn't necessarily think I would have said this 6 weeks ago, but Origi comes off the bench and provides that moment of class. And we've mentioned Liverpool's squad now, something that you alluded to, that they... Now, Tottenham need to take that next step, and that will involve signing some players and keeping the current squad with some pretty good players happy and staying in North London.
Yeah, it's a huge challenge for them, but then again, Tottenham have made themselves a very attractive proposition by what they've done last season, just as Liverpool did the season before. I mean, nothing speaks to prospective players about ambition like pulling up trees in the UEFA Champions League does.
Absolutely. Gents, final word. Your man of the match. I know you're probably going to both want to pick the same player, but Steve, I'll go to you first.
It has to be Alisson, because when Liverpool were in trouble, he was there.
If I can't pick Alisson, it's going to have to be Andrew Robertson.
OK, but really you want it to be Alisson?
Yes, really.
There we go, the 2019 UEFA Champions League Man of the Matches. I don't know who got the official award. Mo Salah and Divock Origi were probably quite close to it. And we're still seeing some images of the Liverpool players lifting old Big Ears high into the Madrid air. And boy, they looked incredibly happy. That is just about all we have time for on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. What an exhilarating, extraordinary season, really, we've been treated to in the world's greatest club competition. Liverpool making up for their defeat in last year's final by being crowned Kings of Europe for the sixth time in Madrid. A 2-0 victory against Tottenham Hotspur. Check out UEFA.com for further reaction and follow at Champions League on Twitter, Facebook and also on Instagram. Matchday Live will be back again in September. More live commentary, drama and excitement next season. So we look forward to you joining us then. Make sure you do listen on UEFA Champions League, the official app. But until then, from Andy Brassel, Steve Wilson and myself, Chris Parrott, plus all the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye, Liverpool, Kings of Europe.
Hands on hips. He looks at the referee. He approaches the ball and he fires Liverpool in front. Liverpool 1, Tottenham Hotspur 0, Mohamed Salah.
Brought down by Matip.
Origi hits it, and men have won the Champions League for Liverpool. It's Divock Origi, it's that man again, and Liverpool have doubled their lead. Jordan Henderson lifts the European Cup. Liverpool are the kings of Europe yet again. Ticker tape falls. Tottenham Hotspur are forgotten. This night now is all about the dancing, prancing, delighted Liverpool Football Club, champions of Europe.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.